What happens when your brook runs dry? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, can you relate to doing something that you feel like God wants you to do and running into tremendous opposition? I mean, it just seems like the bottom drops out and you're scratching your head and you can't figure it out. And it's like, why, God? Why is this so hard? I'm doing your will, and yet it seems like you don't want me to do it because there is such tremendous opposition. What do you do when your brook runs dry? That's what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17.
He can heal every scar.
When the Old Testament prophet Elijah waited on God's provision and obeyed his voice, he saw God work miracles through Elijah's dry brook. Is this possible for us too? Absolutely. The message today is the second in Pastor Jeff's series, Holy Boldness, Lessons from Elijah, the Prophet of Fire. Now remember, if you miss any of these broadcasts this month, you can catch up at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. Now, open your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 17. Here's Pastor Jeff to explain God's plan for you when your brook runs dry.
William Carey was the missionary to India. He was born in 1761 in England. He became a Christian when he was in his later teens, and he had a desire in his heart to share Christ outside of the confines of England, and God led him to the land of India. He's famous for saying this. He's called the father of modern missions, but his famous saying was, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And that's how he lived. When he was getting ready to go to India, I mean, it was exciting. We are going to venture out and the gospel continuation of Acts, and we're going out and we're gonna share Christ in India. Well, his wife didn't wanna go. They had three boys, 4 years old to 8 years old, and she was pregnant. And he said, well, we need to go. She said, I don't wanna go, but he knew that they had to go, and back in those days, I mean, the wife didn't have a lot of say, so she reluctantly went. They were on the ship for 5 months. She got seasick most of the time. She's big and pregnant and had her baby on the ship. When they got to India, Carey hadn't calculated how expensive it was going to be for him to live. And within 2 months, they ran out of money. They moved 5 times in 7 months. Carey got malaria, and his little son Peter got dysentery, and he got it so bad that he died. 7 months into the journey, he's burying his youngest son, Peter, and the strain was too much for his wife, and the depression turned into full-blown mental illness, and she was never the same. She never got out of the mental breakdown, nervous breakdown she had. She ended up living the end of her life secluded in a room, restrained to a bed so she wouldn't hurt herself. Now, in the midst of all of this, William Carey, where he felt like God wanted him to be, burying his son, dealing with his wife and with no money, he said these words, "This is indeed the valley of the shadow of death to me." Hey, can you relate to doing something that you feel like God wants you to do and running into tremendous opposition? I mean, it just seems like the bottom drops out. It seems, as we're gonna study today, like your brook runs dry and you're scratching your head and you can't figure it out. And it's like, why, God? Why is this so hard? I'm doing your will, and yet it seems like you don't want me to do it because there is such tremendous opposition. When God called me into the ministry, one of the things that I knew I needed to do was go to seminary. I didn't want to go to seminary. I thought, man, when I got graduated from UT in 1984, I was singing that song, School's Out for Summer, School's Out Forever. I thought I was done with school, and then God calls me in the ministry, and I talked to my pastor, and I said, God's called me in the ministry, and he said, a call to preach is a call to prepare. You need to go to seminary. I was like, don't want to do that. He said, you need to. And so Debbie and I talked about it, we prayed about it, and God led us to go to North Carolina. So I resigned my job. God called me in July of 1995 into the ministry. I resigned from my job at the end of May, and we went in June to North Carolina, Wake Forest, North Carolina, to go to seminary. And man, I was all excited. Hey, gang, we're going, and we're following God, and we're like Abraham. We're just going out there, and we know we're stepping out of the boat, and God is gonna do great and mighty things. And I get to seminary, and there are no opportunities for me to preach, no opportunities to teach. You know, I had this vision that everything, the heavens were just gonna open and people were gonna be so excited to meet Jeff Shreve, and they're gonna want him to preach and pastor. And pretty soon I'd be pastoring a church of thousands and all that stuff. It was nothing. The only opportunities came to Debbie. People heard she could sing, they wanted her to sing. I was like, hey, we're here because of me, not because of her. And man, I just felt like the brook had dried up. God, what's the deal? God, how come you're not coming through? God, I don't understand. Hey, what do you do when your brook runs dry? That's what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. If you remember, Elijah is somewhat of a mountain man from a little place called Tishbe on the other side of the Jordan River, and he has a heart for God, and God calls him to confront wicked King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel, and they are turning Israel into a place of Baal worship. And Elijah, whose name means the Lord is my God, he comes and confronts Ahab and says, there's not gonna be any rain. I stand before the Lord who is God. There's not gonna be any rain on the land except by my word. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And God took Elijah after he confronted Ahab. You know, Ahab is worshiping Baal. Baal is the god of fertility. Baal is the god of rain. And God goes right after their false god and says, I'm gonna show you who God is. And so after Elijah confronts Ahab, then the Lord tells him, go to the brook Kirith, which is on the other side of the Jordan River, which is not that far from Tishbe, where he was from. And he says, go there, hide yourself there, and I will command the ravens to provide for you. And it says in verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Well, I mean, part of that is like, well, okay, that's gonna happen because there's no rain, and Elijah, that was what you told him, and so that's your prayer, but now that's hitting you and your brook dried up. Hey, what do you do when your brook dries up, when you're where God wants you to be, but there's no water? I wanna give you a threefold action plan, because all of us, if we live long enough and walk with God long enough, we're gonna find ourselves in a situation where the brook dries up. And then we ask ourselves, what do I do now? Threefold action plan for when your brook dries up. Part one, you remind yourself that God has not forgotten you. When the brook dries up, that's when the devil moves in. And the devil will whisper in your ear and say, you're following God, you're serving God, you're going where God wants you to go. Well, look at this, there is no water for you. The brook has dried up. Maybe you misunderstood God. Maybe you didn't really understand what he told you to do. Maybe you're in the wrong place, because how are you going to survive if there is no water? The devil moves in when the brook dries up. That's what happened to me in seminary. When my brook dried up, the devil moved in, and I was all the excitement of moving to North Carolina with no job, just stepping out on the word of God and taking my wife and my three girls there and trusting God. All that stuff, it started to fade. The vision began to fade because there wasn't anything going on. And I was just disillusioned. I was like, God, why'd you bring me here? I mean, I'm not doing anything. I had a better ministry in Houston when I was working and providing for my family. And now I just have part-time jobs and we're living on, less than a third of the income that I had before. And no, there's no health insurance because there's no money for that. And God, why'd you bring me here? I remember calling my pastor from Houston. And I said to him, I'm really discouraged. And he said, well, tell me about it. So I told him, I said, there's just no opportunity here. I said, I don't know why I came here. He said, does any scripture come to mind? I said, the only one is Job 2:9, curse God and die. And I said, that's not a good one. It's not a good one. I was in that place where I thought God had forgotten about me. You ever been there? That's a lie from the devil. God doesn't forget you. That's why the very first thing you need to do when your brook dries up, you need to remind yourself, God hasn't forgotten me. Isaiah chapter 49, such a great passage where the scripture says this, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and the Lord has forgotten me. Here's God's response to that. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. If you belong to Jesus Christ, he has engraved your name on the palms of his hands. He's inscribed you on the palms of his hands on his nail-scarred palms. He can't forget you. Hey, a woman wouldn't forget her nursing child, but even if she does, God says, that doesn't mean I will, because you're right there before me all the time. God hasn't forgotten you when the brook dries up. So you and I need to remind ourselves, God hasn't forgotten me, and the Lord is in charge, and he knows what he is doing. I don't know what he's doing. I don't understand, but God knows what he's doing, and God is in charge. And so I don't need to worry or fret or believe the lies of the devil. I love what William Carey said. I read you just the first part of his quote, but his whole quote was this. This is indeed the valley of the shadow of death to me, but I rejoice that I am here notwithstanding, and God is here. It would have been very easy for William Carey in the death of his son and the situation with his wife and all the difficulties financially. It would have been so easy for him to say, I just think I missed the boat. I need to get back to England. This is an awful place. But he knew that God called him there. He knew that God was there and he could still praise the Lord and trust the Lord. He stayed there for 41 years. He never had a furlough. 41 years of ministry, he translated the Bible into 6 different dialects, and God used him in such a tremendous way. He's the father of modern missions. Hey, what do you do when your brook runs dry? Very first point of the threefold action plan, you remind yourself that God has not forgotten you. Secondly, you wait for God to show you the next step. So here's Elijah. Lord, I'm here. I'm at the brook Kerith. You told me to be here. And Lord, it's been awesome because the ravens, those dirty birds, those scavenger birds, they've been coming. They've been dropping food morning and evening. And I've been drinking by the brook. But God, now the brook has dried up. And Lord, unless the ravens start bringing water jugs, I'm in trouble here. I can't make it here. So what do you want me to do? What am I supposed to do now? Well, let me tell you, when you are in that situation and your brook dries up, let me tell you the first thing you don't do. You don't take matters into your own hands and say, well, okay, I know how to solve this problem. I can't stay here. I'm going to go to a place where I know I can find some water. Hey, Lord, I'm going to take the wheel now, and we're going the way I want to go because the way you wanted to go is not working anymore. Don't do that. You're going to be tempted to do that. I'm tempted to do that when the brook runs dry, but don't do that. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. You wait for God to direct your path. You don't take matters into your own hands. You know who's the poster child for taking matters into his own hands when his brook went dry? Abraham. Abraham, who is known for his faith. He's the father of all who believe. Abraham, as the scripture says, he believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness. Abraham was in a situation in Genesis chapter 12 when his brook ran dry. I mean, he had left Ur of the Chaldees with his wife and with Lot, his nephew, and they had traveled to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And he's there where God wants him to be. But then it says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, now there was a famine in the land. So Abram, he was Abram before he was Abraham, went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. He hits the famine. It's like the brook running dry. And he says, well, this isn't any good. I hear they have food in Egypt. And so I'm going to just get myself down to Egypt and I'm going to hang out there for a time. God didn't want him to go to Egypt. God never told him to go to Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a picture of sin. And Abraham sinned when he went down into Egypt, because if you know anything about the story in Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham went down to Egypt, one of the things he had to do was tell a lie. And he told his wife, now, when we go see Pharaoh, you make sure to tell him you're my sister, not my wife, because you're a good looking woman. And he's going to take one look at you and he's going to say, I want you for my harem. And if he knows I'm your husband, then he's going to kill me. And so just say you're my sister so that it will go well with me. So he goes down to Egypt. He lies and deceives down in Egypt. It's a terrible thing that happened to him. He takes Lot, his nephew, down to Egypt. And Lot is polluted. Egypt is a picture of sin. Egypt is not a good place. And so Lot goes down to Egypt and Lot gets polluted by Egypt. And one of the reasons why we read in Genesis chapter 13 that Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom is because he said it's like the land of Egypt. It's like the garden of the Lord, like the Garden of Eden, and like the land of Egypt. And I love Egypt, and so I'm going in this direction. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom, and that ruined his life. Came about because Abraham made a bad decision, because Abraham took matters into his own hands. You know what else happened to Abraham in Egypt? He got a maid. Her name was Hagar. He took her out of Egypt. He's going to end up having sex with Hagar. His wife Sarah said, you need to do that and raise up a son because we don't have a son. And God said he's going to give us a son. And so I think maybe God's wanting us to help him out with this plan. And so if you have a son with Hagar, she's my maid. So it'd be like it was in the family and it would be like my son. And God didn't want him to do that, but he did it. And he had a son, and that son's name was Ishmael. And Ishmael became the father of the Arab race. And there have been problems between the Jews and the Arabs ever since. All because Abraham did not wait on God. He took matters into his own hands and it was a disaster. Hey, don't do that. Don't do what he did. Do what Elijah did. Stay put and stay attentive till God brings new orders. Hey, there's nothing going on here, Lord. The brook has dried up. And he waited until verse 8 when the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath. He waited there. He stayed put and he stayed attentive. His eyes were on the Lord and he waited for God to give him instructions. Now, the scripture says this in Psalm 27. David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Well, we don't like to wait for the Lord. We don't like to wait for anything. We don't like to wait for our food. I mean, in today's world, everything instant, instant, instant. You go to a grocery store, and these are some of the items that you see. Instant coffee. It's instant coffee crystals. You don't have to wait. It can just be instant. But not only is there instant coffee, there's also instant breakfast. Carnation, instant breakfast. Just bam, you want breakfast? Here it is, in an instant. But not only do you have that, but you have instant mashed potatoes. Now, if you know anything about making potatoes, you know that you got to cook the potato before you can mash the potato, and that takes a long time. I know sometimes we would have baked potatoes, and if you don't get them in the oven, I'm told this, I don't really know about it. If you don't get it in the oven a long time out before dinner, it's not going to be ready. But not with instant mashed potatoes. You say, Jeff, I don't eat potatoes. I'm a rice man. Well, they have instant rice. I mean, it's instant everything. And so we come to this instant, 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 instant. And you know what? We want instant God. We want instant answers to our prayers. We want God to be like a microwave. You know, you put in your prayer and you punch the button and you have about 30 seconds or 60 seconds of prayer and then bing, it's ready. Here's God with your answer. Let me tell you something about God. He doesn't use a microwave. He uses a crock pot. You found that out about God? Oh, well, why so long, oh Lord? How come it takes so long on this answer? Because God doesn't go by your time or my time, he goes by his time, his time. And when God chooses to move in his time, when he has everything ready, he moves quickly.
Now, obviously, it may not seem like his move is coming soon enough, but it will be perfect timing. You're listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve's message today entitled, When Your Brook Runs Dry. And in this message, we're learning what to do when you feel like you're in the middle of God's will, but the bottom drops out. We're learning to handle life when the brook is running dry. And a drought seems to happen to everyone. It surely did happen to Elijah. He waited on God's provision and obeyed his voice, and he saw God work miracles through his dry days. And you and I can learn to do the same thing. Of course, it always starts with prayer. And Pastor Jeff Shreve has a powerful and a sensitive booklet called Unveiling the Mystery of Prayer that can help. It's our gift to you for your support of any amount to From His Heart this month. We'd also like to send you his 8-message series, Holy Boldness, Lessons from Elijah, the Prophet of Fire. That and the booklet both for your gift today. Now, the series also includes today's message, When Your Brook Runs Dry, and we've just heard half of that message so far today. The series is available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. You get to pick. And you can get these resources by calling 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Or you can easily and securely go to fromhisheart.org. And thank you for joining with us to help tell the world about our great provider, Jesus. Again, you can call 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift, or go online to fromhisheart.org. You are a blessing to us, and we join together in this mission. Thank you so much. Well, thank you so very much for joining us today, too, and we trust that you'll be here tomorrow for part 2 of this important and timely message, When Your Brook Runs Dry. That's on Thursday, when Pastor Jeff Shreve will open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.